Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
We are.
And today we have something different for you listeners. We're very excited to welcome Danielle Ingenito. And she is an expert on toxic relationships, sadly, some from experience and some from research. And she is an empowerment coach, a spiritual empowerment coach, sorry, and a Reiki master and an energy healer. And what we love so much about your bio, Danielle, is you say, "I believe every woman should love who they are." So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've written a book, and then we'll pepper you with questions and get into what actually makes a toxic relationship, what to watch out for, and especially how to heal from one.
Absolutely. Awesome. Okay. So we'll try to make this short a little bit. So I definitely was in a toxic marriage. I didn't know I was kind of married to a narcissist. Nobody ever told me this. Got out of that, jumped into a deep friendship with another woman who actually introduced me to energy work because I was devastated from my divorce. And it kind of took off from there. I was actually a CPA accountant before I went into all the spirituality and energy work. But once I realized what the power of energy can do, because I had tried therapy, I remember writing my journal since I was like probably like 12 or 13 years old because I knew like I didn't feel right, but I could never figure out why. So when I did the energy work, I was like, and the narcissism, I was like, how do people not know about this stuff? And like, I have something that really works with this energy. Like I have to share it. So I just started sharing it. And then my audience grew, everyone was loving it. And then like, here I am now. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
And your book is called "It's Not You, It's Your Energy."
Yes, exactly. Because everyone thinks it's them.
Right. And I was just recently talking to one of my oldest friends and she said, "Kristen, why do I attract this kind of person?" And I thought, I don't know, you know, she's smart, funny, lovely, kind, beautiful. She's got the whole package, but again and again, she gets involved with, you know, people who drain her. Joss and I have shared our own heartbreak stories over narcissistic friends and that kind of thing. But So your book is called "It's Not You, It's Your Energy." And again, listeners, we're talking with Danielle Ingenito. And what is the name? What is your website, Dee?
DanielleIngenito.com.
So easy. There we go. So you talk a little bit about repeatedly attracting the wrong type of person, which you yourself did. And I mean, I think we all do. And now you figured it out on your own. I figured it out with my therapist. Joss and I are big proponents of mental health, however you find it. And, you know, I love yoga and meditating and therapy. And Joss, what are some of your go-tos?
In order to cope, you mean?
Just, you know, things that make you feel better, things that you do for self-care?
I've been doing a lot of breathing. I start doing the 4-7-8. Like I start really simple and I find that it helps. Like the third time I go through that cycle of the, I don't know if people know, if you breathe in for 4 beats, you hold it for 7 and then breathe out for 8.
Mm-hmm.
About the fourth time I go through that cycle, you feel it all sort of really start to calm down. So I do a lot of that. Should we say we drink wine? I shouldn't say that.
I'm drinking wine right now. wine and food are part of my, you know, good wine and good food are part of my self-care. But, you know, it's interesting because I think energy is being promoted by Western medicine now to therapists, you know, talking about, you might not call it that energy work, but yoga or Reiki or meditation is all about kind of centering and settling yourself. But Danielle, I want to ask you, you know, why do we attract the wrong type of person again and again? Are we trying to fix something from our childhood? Are we just stupid? It takes us a long time to learn.
No, nobody's stupid. No, it's your energy. And what I write about in the book is that our energy holds our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So what happens is in our childhood, it starts in our childhood, it can still be affected by relationships moving forward, whether it be romantic or friendships. But when we didn't get the love that we needed as a child in the way that we needed it, we don't feel loved and we don't feel lovable. So when we don't feel lovable, we start to seek that love outside of ourselves. So we will then start to attract, well, we don't really attract them, okay? They come to us. And we settle with them. We accept them, right? So they will know, like manipulative, narcissistic people will know that they can manipulate you. You'll do what they want. You'll go over and above for them and everything. They will know that kind of right off the bat because they'll ask you questions. They'll see how you are. And you can tell like when you are involved with somebody, like, you know, if they're offering you like, oh yeah, I'll take you there. I'll take you there. Like they got you. They already know like that you're going to do the things that they want you to do. But it's, you're doing that stuff. Like I call them the overgivers, the people pleasers, because they are just trying to find that love outside of themselves because they don't have it within themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On your website, you have a quiz. I think it's, am I in a codependent relationship?
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah. Are you codependent? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And I sent Joss, some of them. I love the quiz. You may be in a codependent or toxic relationship if, and I love that you give like choose as many as you like. Number one is I overgive and try to help as much as possible. That's me, right, Joss?
Yeah, that is you. You mm-hmm. offered to come to my house and clean it. I've never asked you to do that. I actually don't want you to do that. But you offered it a few times, Kristen.
Yes. And I will go visit people in the hospital and, you know, break up my work week in order to accommodate people. You know, I like to be helpful, which is not a bad thing, but I'm definitely, I think I overgive. Yeah. Number two, do you have it right there, Joss?
I try to solve my friends' or partners' problems. I love to do that. Here's the thing. I am good at it because I feel like I can see it. I can see the whole picture where the person who's in it can't see it.
It's true. Joss is very wise.
There's a problem with that, though, is that nobody wants it. Right? I had to learn this the hard way with my friends because as soon as I was doing my healing, it was like, let me help you. Right? And I lost friends because of it, because they're like, hey, like, I don't want your help. And like, I'm not ready for your help. And, you know, it's overbearing to people who know that they have problems, but they're not ready to deal with them. Yeah. So the more like I teach now, like you have to accept people for who they are. And then you get to choose like if you want them in your life. So if you have friends that are constantly just coming to you to vent to you and, you know, complain to you, but they don't want your advice, you're basically like, they're just punching bag. And I call these like negative energy vampires because they're just there to drain your energy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you got to be like, I always ask like, are you venting or would you want my advice? Especially with what I do. Cause I'm like, are you venting? I'll just let you vent. I'll listen to you. Or do you want my opinion? Like, you got to let me know because I'm not just going to give it to you now because yeah, like I said, I've lost a lot of friends.
I always find people who are broken because I know I can help them is number three. Again, I can relate to that. At the beginning of my writing career, I was suddenly exposed to thousands of people in my business, you know, at conferences and book tours and writing events and local writing groups. And I thought, I'm going to be friends with everyone because I'm super nice. And I found out it took years. It's embarrassing now to look back and see how long it took me. I found out that I shouldn't be friends with everyone. And especially, you know, the broken people, the people who say like, gosh, I've never had a friend like you, or I don't have many female friends, is always a danger sign. One of the red flags Jess and I talk about in our book, that you get to be discerning about the people in your circle. And that's not insulting or cruel. It's just you taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I say it's quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of friends anymore. I was very popular in, you know, they say I was anyway, in college and high school and stuff like that. But like in my intimate circle, there's like only three or four people. Because yeah. I only bring the people, and you probably talk about this, around that light me up. You can't bring around people that, you know, bring you down. So anybody like that, boundaries.
Right, right. And that's one of Joss's favorite subjects is boundaries. What's number four, Joss, in the you may be in a toxic relationship?
I don't say what I feel because I don't want them to be upset, which I used to do. Because I, you know, I don't like confrontation. I don't want anyone to be mad at me. But I found it's easier to be honest than it is to try and skirt around the issue or come up with some kind of platitude that would make them feel better. It's just so much easier for me to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I also found that just being honest doesn't really have the negative result that I thought it would. I'm honest and people tend to just accept it. Which
Go ahead, Danielle.
I was just going to say, I think it's really important with communication there and having those hard conversations, because if you don't have those conversations, you're not really being honest anyway, because you're not telling your friend how you feel. And I lost a 15 year friendship because of that. She was nervous to tell me how she was actually feeling. And therefore we drifted apart. We came back together, but we weren't able to reconcile. And it's because I don't want a friend in my life that can't tell me how she feels, especially after how long we've been friends. So it's about the communication. Like I always say, like, you got to fluff them up before you like tell them how you feel and like make sure that they're not on the defense. It's not about them. It's just about how you feel like when they do something, instead of being like, well, you said this, and that just shuts them down. So it's really about the communication when you're trying to have those tough conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We recently podcasted about being able to communicate with your friends. You know, what is the point of having a close friend if you can't speak honestly to them? And, you know, it can be really hard, which leads us to another, you might be in a toxic relationship. I cling on tight and do everything to make them happy so they won't leave. Because you think that the end of a friendship is near fatal, you know? Yeah. And also what Joss and I talk about a lot is this lore that women have to be friends till the grave, you know, that we don't leave each other. We're better than men. We are deeper and more committed. And sometimes you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I absolutely. And that's the same in marriages and every relationship that we have. Like we hold on for too tight and then it becomes toxic. So it might not have been toxic, but it could become toxic because you're trying to hold on to something that isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And it's okay. They say like that, you know, some people come into your life for a season or, you know, lifetime, whatever that saying is. And it's so true. And it's like, you got to know when the right time to let go is.
Right. Right. And I think it can be such a daunting idea that you're going to hurt somebody, that you, even if this person isn't a great friend, maybe it's a, you know, an energy vampire, they're your energy vampire, you know, and they've been with you for a while and you think, well, you know, but we met in sixth grade and how can I do this? But what I love about your book and about your work is that you really identify that toxic word, which gets thrown around so much. And on your website, you talk about your book and you say, this is perfect for people who are often stressed and unable to sleep well at night, keep slipping back into negative thought patterns and old habits, are motivated but can't seem to reach their goals, or suffer from anxiety and depression. And there you go. I mean, that's when you know you need a change. If you meet those criteria, you know, you want to live a better life, a happier life.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially like with your topic here with crappy friends, if you feel good until you're around that person and then you feel like this with anxiety and depression and all that, then you know it's that friend and you got to let them go. And that's the energy portion too, because those energy vampires are just people that don't want to change. Like I always talk about different vibrations. So, you know, as I healed, my vibration kept going up and my friends stayed the same. And we didn't have a lot in common anymore because I was positive thinking now. I was all like trusting the universe and doing all the energy work. And here they were negative all the time, complaining all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to be around it anymore. Love them. But as you heal and as you shift your energy, like if the people around you don't, they're going to start to bring you down and you're going to start to come down to their level where you need to stay up there. And I always talk about attracting like your soul tribe. Mm-hmm. So when you raise that vibration, now the people on that vibration are going to start to find you and you're going to feel lifted up. You're going to feel supported and understood instead of people that are maybe making fun of you or not understanding you or, you know, bringing you down. So it's so important to understand that, you know, you, if you are on this journey with mental health and energy and all this, like the people around you are going to leave. And I think that's one of the hardest things like my clients have to deal with is that you will lose relationships. But what I will say is you will gain relationships that light you up instead of bring you down. And that is like, once you have that, you're like, wow, it was so worth it.
Now that's something that we've talked about too, making space for other people. But we occasionally get a very poignant letter from someone who says, you know, I feel like I do all the right things, but I'm not attracting good people. And I seem just to have crappy friends or no friends. What kind of advice would you give that person?
Yeah. So the word that you use there is that I'm doing all the right things. It's not about doing, it's about being. Ooh. And that's where we're talking about the energy side of it, is because you can do all the right things. You can communicate perfectly. You could be the most funnest person ever. But if your energy is still telling you that you're not lovable and that you're seeking that love, like those, you're not going to bring those people because you're still at a lower vibration because you haven't healed that stuff from the childhood yet. So if that's you, then it's the healing that needs to take place. It's the inner work that needs to take place so that you can raise that vibration. And then those people on that vibration will start to find you. But if you're still getting the people that are on the lower, it's the inner work that needs to be worked on.
Interesting. I was curious because you talk about doing energy work and I feel like people intuitively sense energies, don't we? And that,
yeah, those vibes, right? Vibes.
You get a vibe from a person, but then we ignore them. Then we ignore the vibe, we ignore that energy, and we dive into something where we ignore that first instinct. I mean, what do you tell people? How do you tell people to like listen to their first instinct instead of ignoring that?
Yeah, it's a hard decision. And the way that I teach it is that you've always got to put yourself first, even when you don't want to. So you've always got to make the best decision for you when you feel that gut feeling or the intuition is what I call it, is that, yep, there's something wrong here. Like you've always got to either explore it a little bit, but keep in caution, you know, like until you know what the answer is. Or you've got to make the call and say, you know what? Yeah, this doesn't feel right. We're going to have to let this go. But a lot of people, again, if they're not healed, they want that love. So even a little bit of a breadcrumb, even though things aren't perfect, they're going to take because it's going to make them feel a certain way. But it's important to always put yourself first and make the hard decisions, even when you don't want to, and you want to dive into that friendship because they're cool or whatever, but you get this weird vibe. It's about like, listen, nope, there's a weird vibe. Let me move on before we go deeper into this. And it's hard. It's really hard. But like I would say, take a deep breath first.
Right.
And then let go.
Yeah. We talk about that InstaFriend connection when you dive right in. You think like, wow, you're cool and funny and so am I. And then, you know, 3 hours later, you're like, oh my God, I just made a new best friend. And then 3 years later, you realize, no, this person doesn't really have my best interests at heart. We're not at the same level of like generosity, caring, showing up. But I guess I have a question. I don't know too much. You mentioned vibrations. Talk a little bit more about that. And like, we always talk about self-care, and working on yourself to always strive to be better, which I think is a lifelong endeavor. Tell us about specifically the energy stuff you're talking about.
Yes. So there's two parts of energy in my mind. One is the energy of other people that affect us, and then the energy of ourselves that affect us. So the energy of other people, we are all made of energy. The whole universe is made of energy. So nobody teaches this stuff. It was why I wrote my book, because I'm like, how come nobody teaches you how to use your energy? We teach like how to eat, how to exercise, but like we're literally made of energy and nobody teaches this. Because I see it in children too. And I just want everybody to know about this. So what will happen is we can absorb other people's energy. So if you do have a toxic friend and they're around all the time, like you might, and they're negative and complaining, and then like you leave them and you're like, phew, it's because you're taking on their energy. You could even start to feel angry or resentful or complaining and stuff like that, because you're taking on their emotions, thoughts, and their feelings. So when you take on somebody's energy, that's what you're taking on. So there's that side of it. So for that, you need to learn how to clear and protect your energy. But for this side, you've got your own energy. And what happens is when you go through traumatic experiences, and traumatic really is just disturbing. And as a child, everything's disturbing to us, right? Because we internalize everything. So my mom could be late 5 minutes and it means that she doesn't love me. This is how we think as children. And when we have these disturbing experiences, there's energy that gets trapped around that event, these traumatic events. And what needs to happen, and what happens, we'll say before I go there, is that, so say for instance, when I was younger, my father left. He left for 9 years. I didn't talk to him, speak to him, or see him. So there was energy trapped around that event, abandonment issues. I always knew I had daddy issues. But then fast forward, when somebody in a relationship or even a friendship would want to break up or leave me, all of the energy from back there when my father left comes rushing up. So I'm getting emotional, and it feels like, well, I don't really even like this friend, but they're leaving me. So why do I care? But it's rushing back up from the past. So when you release the energy from the past around these traumatic events, then you're going to, like I said before, you're going to feel differently, and you're going to be the person that actually has that love for yourself and not needing it from other people.
Yeah. How much do you think, the way that women are sort of, socialized, is part of that? Because oftentimes we as women, we put ourselves last, even more last if we have kids. And that's sort of a socialization thing. But that's the energy that we have in us now, is to never ask for anything because we're putting ourselves last, you know? So I feel like sometimes it's the way that we've been socialized that also creates that kind of toxic energy.
Yeah. Like when I do healing, like in my program now, I've included generational healing and also ancestral healing, because I think it's very two parts of healing that need to be discussed. Because generation, right? I go back, you know, for people in the '50s and stuff, like, what was the generation like when you were a child, you know? And then also your ancestors, like, we have to break these patterns. Like if you look back in your ancestors, there's probably a lot of women that did the same thing, an overgiver, a people pleaser. But I also think that it's how we learn as children. My mother, you know, she was narcissistic. I was never taught boundaries. I was never allowed to say no. I always like, and I didn't feel loved. So I always had the house clean because, you know, I wanted her to just give me some kind of like acknowledgement or something, or be happy. So I also think it's a lot about, you know, how we're socialized, but I think it's more like in the home and how you're brought up. It, like for me and my children, like I'm letting my daughter know, like, no, you don't need to get the backpack that I like, get the one that you like. Like you can say no to me. That's okay. Like, you know, it's how we teach our children, how to grow up as women who are empowered instead of always doing what's best for everybody else. Because look at us, like, you know, the mental health and everything, like we're doing something wrong. So like, we've got to start to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. I relate to so much of what you said, you know, like even as a little kid, I was always trying to make my parents happy, to kind of balance out my brother, who was a very, very difficult person. And so I would do things. I didn't know how to be. I just would clean up the kitchen really well, or pick my mom flowers if she was sad because my brother was being a jerk. And And so I always felt that I had to kind of prove my goodness and my worth. And that got me to a therapist's couch. I mean, I got really bound up in that I have to do so much more than everyone else to prove my worth and to prove that I'm a valuable person. You talk about this really interesting phrase that you reprogrammed your subconscious beliefs. How does a person do that? I mean, it sounds so good. You mentioned like releasing the energy over a traumatic event. What does that look like in terms of action?
Yes. So I believe that it's important to get your mind and your energy on the same page. So a lot of women will come to me and they'll be like, I know that I'm worthy of a great relationship, but I don't feel it inside. And that's the difference between your mind and your energy. Your energy is the feeling that you have inside, and the mind is what you know. So there's, you know, from childhood experiences, just like you just had, like your parents were focused on your brother. So they were lacking attention for you. So again, not feeling lovable, not feeling seen. So as a child, there's so many thoughts that come up with that. Like, oh, I have to be good now. That's a belief right there, right? I have to be good in order to get noticed. Maybe that could be a belief that you might've had. So now we take that belief, we have to reprogram it. So the way that we do that is, I do it with light language, which is an energy modality as well. But we also can do it in a way of first identifying what the beliefs are that you have. And then what we want to do is we want to create a new belief and we want to anchor that in. So when you create a new belief, it's like, okay, no, you don't have to do stuff in order to get love. So what we would do for you would be like, okay, you know, go ahead and look at all of your relationships. Like, who loves you when you're not doing anything for that? So now we start to put a new belief, but then we start to confirm it. So we have to confirm it in our minds in order to then, you know, create it as a new solid belief.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. You know, I love that idea of like, you know, something in your head, but in your heart, you don't believe it. And mm-hmm. I mean, it took me a very long time to get to the place where I felt, you know, more confident in just being a good person, you know, that I didn't have to prove it by going to Joss's house and cleaning her oven. But I am.
You can come to my house.
I know, I get that a lot. And actually, I have to say that Joss is one of those excellent friends who will say, like, absolutely not, but you want to come hang out, you know, and, yeah. You know, I don't have to like do a task list in order to feel worthy of being Joss's friend. And we were just talking, Joss and I, over the weekend about a mutual friend of ours who is the world's most wonderful person. And she's the only one who doesn't know it.
Yeah. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
We all love her. Everyone loves her, but she doesn't see it in herself. And we were talking just about the way she talks to her about herself, which I recently said to her, if someone spoke to you the way you spoke to yourself, I'd punch them in the face, really. Mm-hmm. But you do it to yourself all the time. And I just think that's something that you need to be a bit more cognizant of, recognize that you're doing that, and find a way to reframe that, or at least stop yourself from doing that.
Yeah. It sounds like she would need a different belief to start to focus on, like Danielle said.
Yeah. I think it's hard because so many of the things that she believes about herself are reinforced in the media everywhere you look.
Right. Right.
I'm this way, I'm to this, not enough of that. Mm-hmm. All reinforced that way. So it's really tough. But I had a question about empaths, which is, like, I understand that narcissists, I dated one, and he was horrible, but my feeling about him was that he was attracted to me because I was an empath. I was someone that he could, that would deal with everything that he was putting, all the energy that he was giving to me, I would deal with it, try and fix it and make it better. And I know there are a lot of people out there who feel very empathic, as if they can sort of read people better, have more feeling, more consideration, more sensitive, often to that type of energy.
Love this. I love this. So a lot of people ask me the difference between the empath, the codependent, and the narcissist.
Yeah.
And the empath is, so I have a scale of empathy. So just imagine a line here. And on one side is the narcissist and one side is the codependent. The empath is not even on, and this line is empathy. Okay. So the narcissist has no empathy. They lack empathy. That's why like they can do things to you and not really care. They just say like, get over it. And they have no kind of emotion around it. That's the narcissist with no empathy. The codependent has a lot of empathy, but the empath is not even on the empathy scale. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the empath is all about energy. Empathic, yes, that would be codependent, but the empath is actually off the scale because that just has to deal with energy. An empath is just somebody that is sensitive to energy, that takes on other people's energy. Some people like don't, like they've got boundaries in place. They probably put when they were children, they don't even, aren't even aware that they have boundaries around it because we're all empaths because we're all made of energy. However, some people are more sensitive to it. So if, you know, if my narcissistic ex like reaches out to me, like my energy will like go down unless I know, like I protect, I literally put his name in my phone as narcissist. So when I see narcissist, I'm like, okay, protect. So, you know, so that's an empath. So what you're talking about is the codependent side, which to me, codependency is about seeking that love outside of yourself, because again, you didn't get it as a child in the way that you needed it. And that's the important part. The way that you needed it. You could have had the best parents ever, but you might not have felt the love that they were trying to give you. And I go into the love languages. I'm not sure if you've discussed that on this channel.
Yeah.
So like if you are an acts of service person, but your parents never did anything for you, they could have given you all the hugs and kisses or whatever, but you still didn't feel the love that you needed in the way that you needed it. So therefore that then leads us to codependency. And codependency to me is just about seeking that love outside of ourselves. It's not about depending on anybody. There's a lot of successful. I was successful. I didn't depend on anybody, but I was still codependent because I was seeking the love outside of myself. So, and those codependents have a lot of empathy because of what you've been through. You don't want people to feel the way that you felt growing up and all of that kind of stuff. So you've got a lot of empathy, which is a beautiful thing. And just remember the scale that I'm talking about, everyone's narcissistic and everyone's codependent. So therefore we go up and down these scales depending on what it is. You post a selfie on Facebook and like you're checking the likes or whatever. That's a narcissistic activity. You know, codependency is like, oh, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. That's codependent. We go back and forth. So like, don't identify with either or, because a lot of people say, well, maybe I'm a narcissist. If you're asking yourself if you're a narcissist, you're not a narcissist. That's bottom line. So just realize, like, I like to be in the middle of the scale. So, you know, not over to the codependency, not over to the narcissist, but in the middle of the scale.
I do, you know, because I know Joss so well and have known her so long, we always joke that everyone wants to be Joss's best friend, that she is a magnet. And she says, you know, I'm so boring. Why? But I think it is your energy, Joss, you know, that people gravitate to you because you do have such a good energy or vibe or whatever. And the other person I think fits that description in my life is my sister, who, she is the person you can tell anything to. She's never too busy. She will like reflect love back at you no matter what. And, you know, I feel very lucky to have her as my sister. But I do think that those, it's just so interesting to be talking about this because it makes so much sense, you know, that Joss has a certain energy and people are drawn to her. And one of the things that you've always had to work on, Joss, is creating a boundary so that you aren't sucked dry.
Right. I'm also fairly introverted, so it's hard for me to deal with like a lot of energy all at once.
Yeah.
Gotten better. As I'm 51 years old, I've gotten better at saying, you know, I'm not going to do that right now because I need a break. So
yeah. Well, that's the empath side of you. So it might be empath and codependent. A lot of women I work with are both empath. That was me, empath and codependent. So like your energy is light. Like, so people gravitate towards that light. People say this about me too. I don't get it, but I guess that's what they see. So they gravitate towards you because you make them feel a certain way. And especially negative energy will gravitate towards the light. So you are this beautiful light. So therefore the negative people will gravitate towards you as well. However, and then creating that boundary as well. But with the narcissists and stuff like that, they will stay away from people that they know they can't get to. So it's a little bit different than what I'm saying. How am I going to say this? So like you are filled with light and people will gravitate towards you, just normal, regular people that are happy and stuff as well. But the negative will also, but the narcissist will gravitate towards the codependent because the codependent is going to go above and beyond in order to make that person happy.
Right. That's so interesting. Well, once again, we're talking with Danielle Ingenito, and she has a book called It's Not You, It's Your Energy. She's very skilled in dealing with people who say, why does this keep happening to me? Well, why am I always with this person? Why do I choose the wrong guy, the wrong friends? When will I get to that magical place where I'm happy and have all the right people? And, you know, as we all know intellectually, that all comes from within. And Danielle can probably help you get to that faster. So thank you so much for being our guest, Danielle. It was really nice talking to you.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.